Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I had to do some math earlier this week, and truth be told, I did use a calculator. Do not let my algebra teacher know that. I found out, and I knew this before, but as I was writing down all these numbers, that there are 168 hours in our week. God has created our days so that we get about 168 hours every week. If you sleep the recommended 8 hours a day, that means that you have 112 hours a week where you are awake. Now, many of you work 40 hours a week. Many of you work much more than that. So there's another 40 hours out of your week. The average Major League Baseball game, now with the pitch clock, I don't care how you feel about it, is about 2.5 hours every single game. The average NFL game is 3 hours long. Now, granted, they're not playing for full 3 hours, but you're sitting there for 3 hours. The average American, I found, watches 3 hours of television every single day. Netflix has not helped. How often do we binge watch? Now put those numbers into perspective in a given year. In a given year. The Major League Baseball regular season is 162 games, not including postseason. That is at least 405 hours a year. The NFL regular season, I believe, is now 17 games. That is 51 hours. Just in that span of time, plus postseason. And if you sit and watch any other games the rest of that day, or you tune in on Monday night or Thursday night or whenever else they decide to put football in, you're talking about a lot more hours. So if we use the 3 hours a day that an average American watches television, that's 1,095 hours a year spent looking at that screen. That's not even counting how much time you stare at the screen that sits in your hand. Our average worship takes about 1 hour and 15 minutes. 1 hour and 15 minutes then gives you 65 hours over an entire year spent worshiping God in this house. You add Bible study to that, and I would suggest that, and you're looking at a 130-hour commitment over the entire year to be here, to study God's word, and to sing his praises. Do you complain when the football game goes into overtime? Do you complain when the baseball game goes into extra innings? Do you complain if the service lasts more than 1 hour? You don't have to answer that to me, but God knows your hearts. Think about your time spent. Is it on the right things? The psalmist in our introit for today, which is really the Kickstarter for me figuring this all out, says, "Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed, for a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. That is, a day spent with the Lord is better than 1,000 elsewhere. We spend dramatically more time doing other things. Sleep is good. Work is good. Playing sports and even engaging in some recreational watching is fine. But what does your heart actually crave? The next time service is over an hour, which will be today, I want you to seriously give consideration to these numbers. Our hearts as Christians should rejoice to be in the Lord's courts, to be in a place where our brothers and sisters in Christ are reminded of their Savior. We should rejoice to be able to hear the lips of our neighbor confess Jesus Christ and sing his praises. And we should rejoice to be able to do the same. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yes, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. By the time we get to Sunday morning, as tired as you might be, and I know so many of you work so very, very hard, your soul will rejoice to be exactly where you are right now. Your flesh will war against it. Your flesh will desire to stay in bed. Your flesh will desire to do some pre-gaming. Crucify the flesh. Be in the Lord's courts. This is where we get to hear about God's word. This is where we get to look upon our Savior, who was crucified for our sins, for those desires that haunt and plague us. You give consideration to the fact that your average student spends about 7 hours every day in a classroom, and give consideration to the fact that Sunday school only lasts for an hour every single week. What is your child being taught for those 7 hours a day? Is it Jesus? Is it the scriptures? Is it in congruency with what you believe as a Christian? Is it founded on the Bible? Weigh that to the 1 hour of Sunday school a week. Our children are being indoctrinated so much more in the world than they are in the teachings of Jesus Christ. And that is a problem. It is no wonder that the amount of children that leave the faith behind is staggeringly high, and it's on the incline. What you feed your children is what they will be able to put out. If you feed them the Word of God, if you feed them His praises, if you teach them how to pray, and you make sure that they see the joy, not the grumbling, of going to church, they will put that out as well. But yet you are only one person in your child's life. Who surrounds them? Is it a bunch of pagans? Or are they fellow Christians? All of these things need to be weighed out. Our hearts go for the Lord. A day in thy courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be ever praising thee. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Give consideration to how many hours are spent in places that can lead to wickedness. Give compensation to the fact that your days should be numbered around God, not around your sinful desires. I would rather be a doorkeeper. I would rather greet people at the house of the Lord. I would rather rejoice in our Lord than spend hours in drunkenness anywhere else. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. This psalmist writes this in Psalm 84. These are words that should be in our hearts, upon our lips, in our minds, and sung often. Psalm 92 reads, "It is good to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High." Do we rejoice to be able to sing an extra hymn on Sunday morning? Or do we grumble about that too? "To show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night." It should be a joy that Wednesdays are an additional time to come and worship our Lord, the one who spent 6 hours on the cross to suffer for each and every one of our sins. The one who, while nailed to that cross, most likely prayed through the Psalter. That those words of the Psalms were on his lips and in his heart as he suffered death willingly for wretches like you and me. seeing Jesus on that cross should do something to your heart. It should move it toward him. Now, how does this apply to the rest of our scripture lessons? The answer is actually pretty clear. In our gospel lesson, we see the difference between thankfulness and those who forget to thank the one who has given them all good things. Jesus is going down to Jerusalem, and he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. He entered a certain village. There met him 10 men who were lepers. These 10 men were ostracized from their community. They could not see their wives or their children, and if they could see them, they had to be afar off. They could not hold them anymore. It was a terrible way of life. And they lifted up their voices upon seeing Jesus, and they cry out the words that we cried out this morning, "Jesus, Lord, have mercy on us." And he is merciful. He is gracious. Even though we don't deserve a single ounce of it. So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. You see, Jesus just directs them to go to the priest that he might declare them clean. And on their way, they are cleansed. The word of Jesus Christ cleanses us today. For the amount of hours that we spent doing things that we should not be doing, or spent hours doing things mindlessly, his word cleanses us. His word proclaims that wretched though we are, there is salvation in him. That as sinful as we are, there is forgiveness in him. That though we were dirty and unclean, we are washed and declared clean in the waters of baptism. There were 10 men that went on their way, and as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God, fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. We are leprous because of our sins before a holy God, and yet at his word we are cleansed. Do we find ourselves like the 9? Do we find ourselves that now that we are in a state of forgiveness, a state of repentance, confession, absolution, that we do not return to the Lord often? That we do not sing his praises often? Do we find ourselves kneeling down at his feet, receiving the forgiveness of sins? Or do we find ourselves in front of a screen, or sitting in the bleachers, or doing all sorts of things that ultimately are okay, but when we give credence to them over the Lord, they take us away? Recently, the Green Bay Packers had a Sunday morning game where they played in London, and that game was on at 9 a.m. And there were people missing from church at 9 a.m. because there was a Packer game on. And I'm not asking if you were that person. You don't have to tell me. God knows. What do we worship? What do we worship? What do we fear, love, and trust in above all things? Is it the Baals of this world, or is it Jesus Christ? Will we find ourselves like the 9, not returning to the house of the Lord to give him thanks and praise? Or will we find ourselves with our brothers and sisters gathering often, weekly? Will we find ourselves in his word and praying, teaching our children and our grandchildren how to do the same? Jesus responds to this act. Where were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Every person that has been baptized has been cleansed by the waters of Jesus Christ. Every person that has been baptized has had his name placed upon them. And if every person that was baptized filled every pew in every church, we would see rejoicing. But what do we see without that? We see empty pews. I don't want to focus on the empty pews, though, anymore. I want to focus on those who are here and how to get more people here. I want to focus on the joy that we have. Because, brothers and sisters, if you focus on the joy that you have because of Jesus Christ, others will want to be where you are right now. If they can see His light shining through you, they will turn away from the darkness of this world and they will follow. So that Jesus Christ may proclaim that in His death and resurrection, in giving up His body and His blood on the cross, that He declares to you this very day, arise, go your way, your faith has saved you. The church sings. For thus the Father willed it, who fashioned us from clay, and His own Son fulfilled it, and brought eternal day. The Spirit now has come, to us true faith has given, He leads us home to heaven. O praise the three in one. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.